Blog Talk Radio.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhymes record break neck spines and vertebrae, step on the plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirtbag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim Thug and them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like In Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Might check.
Here it is, the end of July, ladies and gentlemen. And we still have two outstanding former Memphis Grizzlies starters on the free agency block. Pretty remarkable. We have a starting wing, hopefully, who is wielding the power of social media like a Game of Thrones character. We have a lot going on in the realm of the Memphis Grizzlies, and I'm so thankful wherever you are, however you may be listening, for taking in our podcast here, Grizzly Bear Blues Live, and making us a part of your Memphis Grizzlies fan experience. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, once again flying solo this week. Brandon Connor remains out. Hopefully we'll have Brandon back when we return from our hiatus. I'll talk more about that at the end of the show of this week. But first and foremost, thank you so much for being with us once again for another installment of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Ways to get in touch with the show if you're listening live or if you just want to tweet at us after the fact as you listen on Blog Talk Radio or iTunes, wherever it may be. You can tweet at us at GBB Live. You can tweet at me, site manager Joe Mullinax, host of Grizzly Bear Blues Live at Joe Mullinax, M-U-L-L-I-N-A-X. Excuse me. You can tweet at Brandon, my co-host, at Ball from Grace, and you can also tweet at our blog, SB Nation NBA's Memphis Grizzlies fan blog, Grizzly Bear Blues, at SBN Grizzlies. Lots to get to this week, so without further ado, let's get right into it. Excited to have our guest at this time back on the program, and I had to go through a couple more loops this time because Mr. John Roser is part of the Memphis Grizzlies organization. I'm very excited to talk to him about his role in Grind City Media, how he sees the Chandler Parsons show playing out, and lots of other fun, now getting into late summer tidbits as we start to get into the real doldrums of the NBA offseason. But thankfully, we've got John Roser back to get us through, at least on this podcast. So welcome, newly of the Memphis Grizzlies Grind City Media branch, Mr. John Roser. John Roser, how are you doing, sir?
What's up, Joe? Doing well. Just chilling here in a light sprinkle is coming down from the skies here in Memphis, which is kind of much needed, but it's terrible for someone like me who wears glasses because it's very humid here during the summers. And so anytime I get in and out of the car, my glasses completely fog up. But it's much needed rain that we're getting here right now.
One thing that I don't miss about Memphis, and I miss a whole bunch about Memphis. One thing that I don't miss, I'm a teacher and football coach by trade, is the football practices in late July, early August down there. I feel for my buddies who are still there in Memphis. One coaches at Arlington High School, got a couple of guys that coach at Bartlett. They're melting right now. I know they are. It is hot as hell. In Memphis.
My nephew actually is just starting high school this year, and he's going to the ninth grade, and he is a big kid. Like, he's like, his dad was like an offensive lineman and like had a scholarship to Mississippi State, but he blew out his knee and wasn't able to ever play football again. That's, you know, when the medical industry and rehab was not as advanced as it is now. Like, when you blew your knee out way back then, you weren't ever able to come back from it again. But anyway, no, my nephew just started high school football this week. And so, yeah, it is. He's a big kid. He's already like 6'2", and he's only like 14 years old. But yeah, it is. But I think they have a rule now in, I think maybe TSSAA, I guess, that, I think if the heat index hits 103, once it hits 103, they have to stop practice now. So there's a little of that. And it And the heat index gets to be 103 a lot in this city in summer, especially July and August. Yeah.
You have to go to morning practices or you're not going to go until 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And even then, sometimes I remember when I was coaching at Bolton, there would be Friday night games that we wouldn't be able to start because it would still be over 105 heat index at like 8 o'clock at night. Just ridiculous. So shout out to all the football coaches out there up here in Virginia. We get started this week coming up. I know I got some buddies down in Memphis who are busy plying their trade, getting ready for a season with school around the corner. But nobody came to listen to the high school football conversation. They came to listen to the Memphis Grizzlies. And as I mentioned at the top here, Roser, congratulations, a new role for you with the Memphis Grizzlies. You left 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. I figure you wouldn't be a free agent for long, and you most certainly weren't. If you don't mind, take me through kind of the process as much as you can. I know some of it's, you know, kind of private, professional business kind of stuff. But go through the process of becoming a member of Grind City Media with the Grizzlies.
Well, I mean, it's not as much of a transition as you would normally think going from one job to the next. Just because, like, when Chris and I left AM 730, when we our studios were located on Beale Street in downtown, we were located right above Alfred's and Wet Willie's and Dyer's and all that. When we left there to go to 92.9, it was a little bit different because we're going from a studio downtown where Chris and I pretty much were most of the only people there all day, every day, to a corporate environment at 92.9, which is owned by Intercom. We go there to where it's a more corporate environment, and we don't really know a ton of people. Like, all we really know, Eric Hasseltine and Gary Parrish are over there. So, we know them, but, like, we didn't know anybody else really in the building. But when I make the move over to the Grizzlies, it's an easier transition for me because, you know, I've been going to Grizzlies games as a media member for, you know, 10 years now, 8, 9, 10, 11, however, you know, anywhere between like 7 and 10 years. And so a lot of these people over there, especially over the last 5 years, like, I've known them, you know, because I see them at games and I talk to them at games, whether it's Scott Zachary, whether it's John Pugliese, who we call Pugs, whether it's Jason Potter, who's in charge of game ops, whether it's Jason Wexler, whether it's Carly, who's also helped coordinating the game ops throughout the game and everything. Carly, actually, when I got into radio, Carly was the operations manager over at AM 730 at the time, and the Grizzlies plucked her from us. So actually, when I started interning, Carly was like my boss when I first started interning in radio, and then come full circle, and now I'm back to working in the same place as her. But and whether that's Grizz, the mascot, I'm not going to give away his actually his real name is Grizz. He shows up to work every day wearing the full Grizz outfit, and that's how he has to walk around the office. But, you know, I've known him for years. So it's just a lot of people over there. I've known them a long time. And then even like where my desk is right next to Alexis Morgan's, and I've gotten to know Alexis over the last year from her being with Grind City Media, and I see her at every game, you know. So I've gotten to know her over the last year. So her desk is right next to mine, and then, you know, Ross Wooden and Jason Wallace are right, you know, their offices are right there next to mine. And I've worked with them for several years now. So, I mean, I've known a lot of these people. So it's a little bit of an easier transition. So the process was one of those where, I mean, I think it was, you know, they have a vision for Grind City Media, and it hadn't even a full year since they've launched it. Now they've gone through a full NBA season, one full Grizzly season, but it hasn't been a full calendar year even since they launched it. But talking to those guys and seeing their vision for it and everything, and these are the people I'm working for are very, very successful people. And that's not to say the people that I worked with at 92.9 weren't, because I have nothing but love and respect for everyone over there. I still text with several of the people over there. I mean, you know, that's a lot of those people. Those are my friends. Like, John Martin's one of my best friends. Jason Smith I've known forever. You know, Brad Carson is my program director. And then some of the people on the sales side over there, I was friends with before I ever worked with them at Intercom in 92.9. Like, I've been friends with them before that. So, I mean, I've got friends over there, and they're great people too. But, you know, it's one of those things. I've been doing radio for 10 years, and this presented, you know, an opportunity for me with Grind City Media. And like I said, it hadn't been a full calendar year. It's still in its infancy. And so it presented a new challenge to me. And I think at my age, being 32 years old, I think it was time for me. I've done radio. Challenge myself, and let's see what else I can do. And, you know, like I said, they have a vision for this thing. And, you know, then they got Chris over there, when he had his dispute with 92.9 and Intercom, and he ends up going over there and for the launch of Grind City Media. And I think, you know, when it became an opportunity became where I was available, and I could possibly move on or stay at 92.9 or move on elsewhere. It became a natural fit for them to grow this, especially with Chris doing his podcast. It became, what is our next step here? Because they do a lot of stuff on the audio side, whether it's Chris's podcast or whether it's, I think they've had Rob Fisher do some audio stuff, or they've had Michael Wallace do like the Grind City Get Up. I think Alexis has done some audio stuff. And so you need a full-time producer for that. Well, I'm someone who's worked with Chris and produced Chris's radio show for 10 years. I think they felt like it's someone we know. We've worked with them before, you know, on a smaller level as far as during game nights. And so it's someone that we're familiar with. And we know that, you know, we think this is someone who can get the job done. And for me, it presents new challenges to me. And I think, you know, at my age, where I am, you know, in my career, I felt like this was the right time to move on and, try to do something different and challenge myself with something new.
Well, I'm sure I speak for a lot of people in Memphis when I say I'm glad that you and Verno are back together. You know, you two did a tremendous job.
I've noticed on Twitter. I've seen the reaction, and I am grateful. I actually think, you know, it's still like to this day, you know, we put that video out, and I was on the pod and launched the new podcast with them on Monday. And I still am getting notifications of people favoriting the tweet and the video, and even us tweeting out the first podcast we did together. I'm still getting notifications on my phone through it. And I actually think we knew we'd get a big response. We knew we would, but it's actually, I think it's been bigger than even we expected. And I think even over at the Grizzlies, it's been, if you ask some of the higher ups, our bosses, I think they tell you it's been a little bigger than they thought it was going to be so far. So, no, that's good to see. We are, you know, we worked really hard to build up a loyal audience and to do our best every day to provide great content and great conversation, whether it be about the Grizzlies or, you know, other sports, NFL, college football, college basketball, whatever it is. And so, no, we're very thankful and very grateful for the reaction we got. And I mean, it really did. It blew me away. It was kind of overwhelming. It was very overwhelming. But I really appreciate it from everybody. It's awesome to get that reaction. It makes you really feel like what you do is really appreciated and enjoyed by people.
Well, you're good at your job, and it is appreciated. Now, I will say that, and you mentioned some folks, Wallace, Ross Wooden, you know, people that have been very kind to us here at GBB. Jason Wexler did an interview when Grind City Media was launched with one of our writers, Chase Lucas. And it was a great interview talking about what this vision for Grind City Media is going to be. It had its critics, and I think it still does to an extent, the idea of being a media branch of the team. I'm just curious as to what your role is going to be within it. And now that you are a part of it, you have the unique perspective. You haven't been there long, obviously, but you were on the outside and you kind of saw it from the 92.9 perspective or the outside media perspective. Now you see it from the Grind City Media perspective. What do you see your role being there, you know, beyond being that producer, like you said, and do you kind of see a place where Grind City Media can continue to develop? Like you mentioned, it's in its infancy. Where do you see it going from here, as it's something that hasn't really been attempted in Memphis, certainly? Other teams and other sports are doing this. But how do you see Grind City Media growing in Memphis?
I mean, look, I can't give away everything. I can't tell you everything. But just know we do have we've got plans to do other things. Now I don't know when all that's going to happen. But I guess I was a little bit of an outsider. But also, I kind of wasn't, because, you know, during Grizzly season, I'm there. I'm at the arena every night there's a home game. And so I'm around all the people that are with Grind City Media and the people that are running Grind City Media. So I can see what they're trying, and know that what they're doing, it's not just something they're throwing together and, oh, if it works after a year or two or three, if it, 3 years, or if it doesn't, oh, it's just scrap, no, it's not going to work, and let's just get rid. No, that's not how these guys operate. As far as my role within Grind City Media and the Grizzlies, we don't have enough time for me to read you my job description. Shout out to you, Scott Zachary. No. It's going to be great. It's going to be some things that actually, when I look at it now, like, I still look at it and my job description, and I'm like, some of it kind of like I'm taken aback by, because it's like, I've never done this before. Some of this stuff I've never had to do before. Like, my job has just been produce radio, really, for the most part. And I do post game for Grizzlies games and pregame, and like, well, that's just talking about the Grizzlies. That's easy enough for me. You want me to talk about the Grizzlies? I can do that all day. But some of this other stuff is going to be challenging for me. One of the things I'm going to be doing, they are launching, the G League team. They've already announced it clearly. The Memphis Hustle that will play at the Landers Center. So how they stream, we said this on the first podcast Chris and I did together back on Monday, that, they stream their games on Facebook. That's how they do their games. That's how they broadcast their games, is through Facebook. And so I am going to be kind of like how you have Pete Pranica and Brevin Knight on television, on the television broadcast for the Grizzlies. I'm going to be like Brevin Knight for the Hustle games, broadcasted through Facebook. This is something I've never done before. So it is kind of like, it's a little overwhelming at times when I look at it. I'm like, oh man, like, I have never done this before. And I know the first Hustle game there is, that I'm down there at the Landers Center doing this. Like, I am going to be so nervous, and I am going to be sweating. Like, I hope they will let me wear like basketball shorts, flip-flops, and a tank top, because if I'm wearing a suit, I am going to look like Pete Gillen. Pete Gillen, who sweats all the time. I am going to look like Pete Gillen if I have to wear a suit to my first Hustle game. I'm going to be so nervous. But no, I mean, this was part of the conversations I had with them. And I said, as long as you guys know, like, I've never done anything like this before. And so if you're patient with me, it's something I think I can do and something I know I will get better at. Just know I've never done it before, and it's going to take me a little time to get in the swing of things. But as far, yeah. And then, with Grind City Media, we also talked about this on the first podcast Chris and I did. We're building a studio. We're building a studio. It should be, we're hopeful. We said Monday 6 to 8 weeks. I think we're still hoping 6 to 8 weeks. We have our studio built, and while I can't give you any details on what it'll look like, it's gonna be nice. It's gonna be really nice, and that's where we will do. And Chris and I, we've announced we're gonna go live. We will start. Chris and I will go live, so it won't just be a podcast. Now, we will podcast it later after the live show's done. We'll put it up for people to listen to via podcast, but we will go live, and we will have live audio streaming of the Chris Vernon Show. And we haven't decided. We've still got other things to iron out. Like I said, we got 6 to 8 weeks to figure out what time we're going to start. But the beauty of it, though, is that, we'll see. we'll see what goes from there. But yeah, no, we have plans to go. So we're getting a studio. We have plans to go live. Chris and I do. And then obviously the other things, whether it's the Grind City Get Up or if they, or if, you know, whatever else they ask me to do audio wise, whatever it is audio wise for Grind City Media, just audio and not video. If it's just audio, I will be in charge of producing that. And putting all of that together, chopping it up, editing, I will be in charge of all that. And then of course, and then the other main thing I'll be doing is the Hustle, being the analyst of the Hustle, for the online stream for the Hustle games.
That's all pretty awesome. And I just tweeted out from the main GBB account. We love live podcasts here. We're huge fans of those. So I'm excited. We're excited to hear the new and improved Chris Vernon Show improve because of our guest at this time, Mr. John Roser, producer over with the Memphis Grizzlies, also going to be doing color commentary, essentially, for the Memphis Hustle on the Facebook live stream. Lots of cool stuff coming ahead for Mr. John Roser, and we're excited to watch it all play out. Let's get into the Grizzlies a little bit. As you mentioned, we could talk about these guys all day. I wrote a post this past week, Roser, about Chandler Parsons, one of my favorite guys to write about over at the blog. I entitled it "Welcome to the Chandler Parsons Show," from the Chris Vernon Show to the Chandler Parsons Show. He's using social media pretty masterfully, I would say, to this point, Roser. He has really kind of changed, or he's trying to change, at least in my opinion, the narrative that has been built around him in his first year as a Grizzly. A lot of tension built up, obviously, with the big contract, the lack of ability to live up to it due to health in his first season. He came and did a surprise visit to Memphis. He's showing Instagram or Snapchat videos of him training in L.A., getting up shots, dunking, looking much more crisp than he ever did as a Grizzly this past year. The question of the day, as we tweet out every week before our show, how has your perception of Chandler Parsons changed since the season ended? The options were yes for the better, yes, it has gotten worse, no, they still dislike him, or no, they still like him. I was stunned, Roser. I'm going to be honest. 43% of people that voted in our poll, thanks to over 110 voters who participated, so over 43% say yes, it has changed for the better. That is a pretty drastic shift from where a lot of people, you know, they showed the pictures of all the Martin Luther King old Adidas jerseys with Nike coming in, the vast clearance sales, and there was a bunch of Chandler Parsons ones. Twitter is a bit of a bubble, and I think that that's part of the problem. You don't always see how the overall fan base feels from that baseline of social media, but it seemed like there was a lot of ill will towards Chandler Parsons, or at least I received a lot of it as a supporter of his. And in just a few short months of this offseason, Chandler Parsons has kind of turned the story a little bit, showing that he's getting healthier, showing that he is willing to do some things in Memphis. And I think that that's helped turn the tide for him to get some good vibrations going his way heading into next season. So what is your take on the current Chandler Parsons Show that is social media being used as his way of saying, hey, I'm getting better and I'm going to hopefully be ready to contribute to the Grizzlies this year?
Yeah, you know, I think people rubbed people the wrong way is that they knew he was injured and there would still be Instagram posts of him in a nightclub with a cocktail in front of him or at the All-Star break, you know, going to Cancun for the All-Star break, even though he was working out, he brought a trainer with him, to work out while he was there. I think what people felt like is there was more of that on his Instagram feed than rehabbing. And this off season, for the most part, the only other ones I can think of that haven't been of him playing basketball have been when, like, he's put up Instagram posts of him, like, hanging out with his family in Orlando, which I think he's been doing a couple of those lately. But it's him hanging out with his family, which I think, you know, Memphis, a southern town, you know, people could totally understand that, you know, hanging out with your family. That's good. Good family, man. You know, that's good. But then everything else has been him playing basketball. It has been him in Los Angeles working out. And if you watch the Instagram videos over the summer as they've progressed, if you watch them, you know, close enough and pay attention and don't just pay attention to the fact that it's pretty much nothing but him making shots. If you look at other things and how he's moving around, you can see progressions. You know, when he first started posting on Instagram this offseason of him working out playing basketball, it was all set jump shots. It was all set shots, catch and shoot, catch and shoot, catch and shoot. And then it eventually became 1 to 2 dribble, pull up and shoot. 1 to 2 dribble and pull up and shoot. And then it became catch the ball like you're posting up, turn, make a move, 1-2 dribble, fade away. Or 1-2 dribble, pull up after making a move and then pulling up. And then it became like the one that impressed me. He had the one where he dunked, but then the other one, and by the way, he's got more arc on his shot too. His shot looks way better. It does not look like it's flat. Now, we'll see what happens when he gets out there and you have NBA defenders flying at you. But then he had another one where he like started near midcourt, dribbled up fast with his right hand, crossed over between his legs with his left hand, dribbled fast, crossed over between his right hands, and then jumped up, faded away, and was making those shots. And he was moving quick. Like, he was moving fast doing it. Like, he was dribbling up the court fast. And so I think if you've watched him, and I know there are a lot of Grizzlies fans that have paid attention closely to him, like, you've seen that progress. And that's what I think has people more optimistic right now than they were after the first, 2 months of last season.
Perception's reality. You know, more and more you hear that, it becomes cliche, but at the same time, it's true. He is doing a masterful job, in my opinion, and obviously he has to back it up with the video, and I agree with the progression. That's clearly there. No offense to the next guys we're going to talk about, but this season continues to hinge, just like last year did, on the health of Chandler Parsons. If Chandler Parsons is the guy that he was supposed to be, if he is that third best player on the roster, what he was paid to be last summer in that, drastic overspending session that everybody's kind of acknowledging now, live up and be most of the value of that contract, the Grizzlies have a real shot to compete. And it's not just because of Parsons, although he is the main key. Obviously, you have Marcus Ault, Mike Conley returning. Even with a lot of the roster overturned, Zach Randolph has departed for Sacramento. Vince Carter is out as well on his way to the Kings. Tony Allen, it appears, is likely on his way out. But there's been some pieces that have come back who Memphis is kind of betting on either a bounce-back year from a guy like a Tyreek Evans. Ben McLemore is clearly an investment in what he could be, not necessarily what he was as a member of the dysfunctional Sacramento organization. How do you see those two guys in particular? Fans were very excited about the addition of Tyreek Evans, especially on the contract they signed him to. Ben McLemore could potentially be a good value signing if he lives up to his potential. It's kind of an out with the old and in with the new, and that's not meant to be disrespectful to Zach and Tony and Vince, who were massively important during their time in Memphis, especially Zach and Tony, of course. But David Fizdale getting a chance to kind of fully implement his vision and what he wants for this roster. How do you see Tyreek Evans and Ben McLemore fitting in?
McLemore, look, the Fizdale's vision has clearly been to get younger and to get more athletic. And Tyreek Evans, while he does have a history of knee injuries, or he has a history of injuries, is athletic, can get to the rim, and from all accounts I've heard, he is healthy and ready to go, and he is strong. He is a big, strong guard. And Ben McLemore is a super young athletic guard who was once, when he was the year he was going to come out of Kansas, midway through the season at Kansas, he's projected to be the number one pick. And that was the year that I think Anthony Bennett actually ended up going number one. And McLemore fell to, 6 or 7 to Sacramento. And McLemore has not flourished like people thought he would when he came out of Kansas. But he's also played for 4 coaches in 4 years. So he hasn't really had a whole lot of stability in Sacramento. One of the things you like to look at is late in the season, what guys do. Now you can take this, however you want it. You can take it as, well, a lot of teams quit playing at the end of the season because their fate's already been decided. But if you look at McLemore in April, in the month of April, the last, 6-7 games of the season, he was 14 points a game on 50% from the field and 52% from three. Now, look, I'm not expecting him to shoot 52% from three. That'd be amazing if he did. But, and then if you even go back into March and look at, late March when he started playing again, if you look at the games, if you go look at his game log and look at the games where he played like 20 minutes or more, I mean, out of the last like 11 games that he played 20 minutes or more, only 2, I think, did he fail to score in double digits. And he was shooting a little bit more from the three-point line. I think he was shooting about 3.5 to 4 threes a game. And so that's what he's expected to give him. He's expected to give him athleticism. He's expected to give him outside shooting, more consistent outside shooting. I think he's like he's like 38% from three last year. He's 35% for his career. He only took 2.8 threes a game last year. You'd like to see that number go up this season and hopefully maybe his percentage go up too. But that's what they're hoping to get out of him. Now, he's also athletic enough that he has the tools of being a good defender in this league. Now, you hope with some semblance of the culture the Grizzlies are trying to build here with Coach Fizdale and everything that maybe he'll start to get some stability in his career by playing for the Grizzlies as opposed to, you know, look, here's one thing we know, barring something just insane happening, like I mean insane, like he's got the 2-year deal with the Grizzlies and he's going to have the same coach both 2 years. Which will be the first time in his career he's had that, you know, the same two coaches. He's had the same coach back-to-back years. This will be the first time he's had that, I think. So, and then I'd say with Tyreek, look, that was one of the things that, you know, I was always looking at when Zach moved on to Sacramento. And, you know, of course, wish Zach nothing but the best. Him and Vince Carter, too, both going out to Sacramento. That it's like, man, they're going to be dependent on Mark and Mike to score 30 points a night each. Well, then you sign Tyreek Evans, and it's low-risk, high-reward because it's only $3.3 million for 1 year. And so Tyreek's a guy, when he's healthy, like, he can come off the bench for the Grizzlies, and he can, like, he can get 20. Like, he can. Like, Tyreek can absolutely go get you 20 points. I believe if I was looking at numbers right, he's better as a catch-and-shoot three-point option. He's better at catching it, I think, late in the season. I think he shot, like, I think he may have been, like, 40-something percent, 41, 42% on, like, catch-and-shoot threes over, like, a couple months of the season, maybe, or a month of the season. So he's better clearly at catching and shooting than he is shooting off the dribble. When he's off the dribble, he's better just straight-up attacking the basket and using his strength to get to the rim and get to the free throw line. But he's also a guy who, because I think, this is just my opinion, I think Conley is going, I think they're going to do a little Steph Curry stuff with Conley this year. And I'm not saying Mike Conley is Steph Curry. So, Joe, do not tweet out, John Roser says Mike Conley is Steph Curry. Do not tweet that out. I'm not
saying
that.
I won't do that. I think I know where you're going. I think I know where you're going.
I think you saw it in that Spurs series when they kind of just unleashed Conley. And Fizdale had been trying to do that all of last season, like just put the confidence in him. Because Conley had always been run the team, got to get Marcus touches, got to get Zach his touches, got to get, you know, for a while before, you know, they traded him, got to get Rudy Gay his touches. You know, he's always been that guy, gets guys the touches, and then he kind of takes it when he sees fit. Whereas Fizdale last year was trying to instill in him, man, like, you are better than you realize you are. And he's trying to build that confidence. And I'm like, go, man, go shoot the ball. Like, you want to come down from 25 feet. If you're open, shoot it. You know, like, don't worry about passing the ball off to somebody else. Like, if you dribble down and they're giving you that much space from 25 feet, just shoot the ball. So I think you're going to see some of that from Conley this year. And you saw it in that Spurs series when he finally, like, something clicked and he was like, they can't stop me. They have, like, they cannot stop me. I mean, Leonard could try to slow him down, and Leonard did, obviously. Kawhi Leonard's amazing. But, you know, he was, like, Mike Conley was amazing in that series and just was absolutely incredible and absolutely looked like an all-star. So I wouldn't be surprised if Mike Conley jumps up to, like, 23 points a game this year. I think he was, what, at 20 last year? I wouldn't be surprised if he jumped up to 23 this year, 22, 23. So I think you're going to see more of him. And then with Tyreek, that also allows Mike to play off the ball. And by I mean by that, when I'm talking about the Curry stuff, yeah, I think Mike is going to have the green light when he comes down. If he's open, he can just make a couple dribble moves and then shoot it. Or he can just come flying off screens, like, you know, sometimes if, you know, like for the Warriors, Draymond will run point or Durant or KD will have it up top. And they'll just run Curry off stuff and Curry just come off, catch, shoot, make a move, or catches it on the move, then, you know, catches it on the move off the screen, catches it, makes the move, dribbles around a corner, takes a shot. Like, I think you're going to see some of that out of Conley this year. And Tyreek being there, being another ball handler, enables the Grizzlies to do that. because, you know, you need a ton of ball handlers. And Tyreek is a guy who can bring it up the court, and, you know, Conley can play with him, and Conley can play off the ball. And that gives Conley a rest from having to run the show.
If McLemore is able to be what they think he can be, it really was a strong free agency for both signings, because McLemore can be that shooter, that young upside athletic player, as you alluded to. And can you also acknowledge the fact that the presumed starting five, which Michael Green returns, which I think most people expect him to, Mike Conley, Ben McLemore, Chandler Parsons, DeMichael Green, Marc Gasol, all five of those dudes can shoot 36 or 37% from three. You have five legitimate three-point shooting, depending on what part of the floor, three-point shooting targets. The Grizzlies, you know the history better than me. I've done my research, but you lived it a little bit, Roser, being there for 10 years. The Grizzlies have never had a starting lineup or a roster that is capable of five dudes being able to shoot 35 or 36% or better from beyond the arc. You want to talk about spacing? You want to talk about pace and space in the modern NBA? This Grizzlies starting five, and then you bring Tyreek off the bench to be that facilitator, as you alluded to, a guy who can drive and get to the basket. This could be a potent offense. There's potential there.
Oh, there's absolutely potential there. Now, you know, you do have to wonder, you know, you do have to think they'll probably take a step back on defense. But some of that also is going to depend on McLemore. And if McLemore will, you know, if McLemore becomes if Ben McLemore becomes a capable defender, like he has the potential to, he has all the requisite tools to be a, you know, competent, good defender fine defender in the NBA who could defend multiple positions because he's athletic enough and has the size enough that he could switch off and things like that. So, but you would expect them to take a little bit of a dip defensively, but if they take enough of an uptick offensively, then yeah, and Chandler's okay, then, I mean, yeah, the potential, I mean, they could get as high, I think, you know. And then you got to see what happens with other teams. But I think you're looking at, I think the five seed is probably what you would most expect, the highest they could get. I think you'd say the top four seeds in whatever order. Well, Golden State, number one, no doubt. And then two, three, or four, San Antonio, Houston, Oklahoma City, whatever order you want to put them in, I think is what you'd say two, three, and four are. So I think five is probably the ceiling, barring a catastrophic injury to one of those teams that I slotted two through four. Like if Kawhi Leonard, you know, tears his ACL, well, then San Antonio's done. And so then, yeah, there'd be room for maneuvering. But I think if all things even and everybody's healthy, I think you're probably thinking like five seed is probably tops they can get. And, yeah, that's if everything works out. And when you bring in these new guys like this, like McLemore, who you're expected to play a pretty good-sized role in the team, and Tyreek Evans, it's going to take time to gel. And then the fact that Chandler didn't even really get to gel with the team that much. So if you're talking about implementing, you know, three of your top six guys are going to be pretty much like brand new, you know, this will be Chandler's first training camp for the team because he didn't get to participate in training camp last year. You're talking about – if you're talking three of your top six guys participating in their first full training camp with your other members, then, you know, it's going to take a little time to gel. It will.
Patience is going to be a virtue, and I think that'll be a common theme that you hear from folks all throughout training camp. We're finishing up here with John Roser of the Memphis Grizzlies. Still new to say that, kind of cool. Make sure you're following Roser on Twitter if you don't already do so, @John_Roser. Roser, Summer League obviously just wrapped up. Really quickly, I know you've got things to do. I've already held you over our time a little bit. Who do you think of those young guys? Obviously, Dylan Brooks is signed with the Grizzlies. Rade Zagorak is signed with the Grizzlies. There are some younger – Wayne Seldon, of course. Of those younger guys, maybe taking Seldon out of it because he obviously impressed everybody at Summer League. Who do you think is really going to kind of shine here in the next year or two for Memphis when they're given the opportunity from that Summer League team?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Seldon. Seldon was fantastic in Summer League. You know, some of the times in Summer League, though, Wayne was just given the ball, and it was like kind of just do your thing. That will not be the case when he's on an NBA court. He will not be able to just do his thing. If he tries to just do his thing, he'll find himself on the bench when you're out there with Gasol and Conley and Chandler and, you know, some of these other guys who are more established players. You can find yourself on the bench. But, no, Wayne did look a lot better in Summer League. Dylan Brooks clearly just I mean, it's cliche to say God just knows how to play, but he does. Like, and he looks like a gamer too. He looks like a gamer, and he looks like a guy who wants the ball. And I think that's a guy who's going to get – I think Dylan Brooks, of course, they signed him too. That's a guy who's going to get real – I think he's going to get minutes for them. I think he's going to get minutes off the bench. And I think Dylan Brooks could be a guy you see that spends – that's going to spend more time with the Grizzlies than he will with the Hustle. And I think that's another guy that you're going to see that he will get better as the season goes on. Dylan Brooks will get to be a better player as the season goes on. Deontay's just so young, but what you're asking of Deontay is not a lot. Like, you're not asking Deontay to, like, you know, you're not asking him to, like, read everything out there. You're not asking Deontay to, you know, catch the ball at the high post and then read every cut and everything that everybody's doing. You're asking him to set a screen on offense and rim run, and you're asking him to rebound, and you're asking him to block shots, and to step out on some pick and rolls and, you know, pick and roll defend like that, and then use his athleticism to be able to recover. So you're not asking him to do anything too fancy. He's still so young. You see the potential in him and see how raw he is. You hope the motor and the energy was lacking a little bit in summer league at times. And then at other times, it was great. But I think you're just looking for more consistency. And I think what that is that just he's so raw and so young. That's still something that, I mean, it may take Deontay another 3 years before he fully gets that just because of how young he is. Which is also the importance of Brandon Wright. Because I think what you did see in that summer league is that Deontay's not ready. I know some people have been thinking, well, Brandon's in the last year of his deal at $6 million, or what if they move off of Brandon? I think that was one of my takeaways from Summer League is, no. They still need Brandon. They need Brandon. Jarrell, I don't know. It's year three, and, you know, he's a great kid. Like, he is. He's a super, super sweet kid. At times, he looked good, and then at other times, it just – didn't look like it was there. Wade Baldwin, I think what you're looking for out of that is a little more. You're looking for a little more point guard instincts, more point guard leadership. Kind of gathering the guys, and say, you know, putting guys in their spots and everything like that, setting the offense up and everything when you need to. You know, when you're playing kind of poorly, gathering the guys, rallying them, getting them together. I think those are things that you're looking for out of your point guard, and I just don't know. It doesn't mean to say he won't get there, that he can't get there, but I don't think we saw that in summer league. But we did see some times where he scored the ball better. I mean, he did hit that one. I think he hit the one game when he shot the layup or whatever it was, or he got fouled and went to the free. I can't remember what it was. Yeah, something like that. You know, he showed, I'll tell you this, he's better this summer league than he was last year in summer league. But that remains to be seen what happens with that spot. Because Tyreek, like Conley plays point guard. Tyreek can play some point guard. You've got Wade Baldwin. You've got Andrew Harrison. And you got Mario Chalmers signed to pretty much like a non-guaranteed deal or partially guaranteed deal, which is kind of, I guess, like a training camp invite. So we'll see. I mean, we know one thing. Conley will be on the team. Tyreek will be on the team. But Chalmers, Harrison, and Baldwin, they're probably going to be fighting it out for a third spot.
There's going to be a lot of competition, and I think that's going to be a unique thing about this training camp.
They could keep two of those three because you could have Tyreek play off the ball. You could play Tyreek at the two or the three also. So, I mean, you could, you know, with Harrison, Chalmers, and Baldwin – you're going to keep two, and one of them isn't going to be there. So two of those are going to have to prove themselves in training camp to be better than the one that's going to be left out. So that's what it's going to be interesting to see. And you know Fizdale's worked with Chalmers. He had him in Miami. And then, of course, Grizzlies fans love him from the time he had here before, you know, the horrible injury where he tore his Achilles in Boston against the Celtics.
It's going to be fascinating. I think this is going to be – and people, again, I don't mean to disrespect – Zach Randolph or Tony Allen or anybody like that, they were massively important. But this is going to be the first time in a long time, and for the first time for a lot of the Grizzlies fans who haven't known this team without Zach or Tony on the roster, there's a change, a lot of new energy, around this team, and it's going to be either a good thing or a bad thing. You're either going to see a renewed focus and renewed roles, renewed opportunities for minutes, that competition kind of bringing out the best in people, or as you kind of alluded to earlier, Roser, it could mean a step back on defense without Tony Allen. It could mean a loss of veteran presence with Zach Randolph and Vince Carter out of the locker room. It all is kind of up in the air right now, and it really makes this team more, I don't want to say interesting, but you kind of knew what to expect from them year after year when that core four era was going on. This is going to be a different look, and it's really going to lead to more interesting, because it's going to be so new, kind of storylines going into training camp, because we're not sure how Tyreke Evans is going to be deployed. We're not sure what Ben McLemore can do, or if Chandler Parsons is going to be healthy, or who the fourth big is going to be. We haven't had this much uncertainty with this roster in 7 years or so, and that's going to make for a really interesting training camp.
Well, that's what's, you know, that's, you know, that's what's going to be important with, it's going to put more, even more onus on Chandler and Mike and Mark for them to also be leaders too, like be leaders and guide these young guys. And then also if Mario Chalmers, you know, if Chalmers looks good enough in training camp and good enough in the preseason that he makes a spot on the roster, that's what's going to be good to look at for him is, you know, veteran leadership. Because you are dealing with a lot of young guys. And so, that you know, if Chalmers does make the squad and comes out of training camp and looks great and comes out of the preseason and looks great and, you know, is able to get a spot on the team, then, you know, you're looking at Mike, you're looking at Chandler, you're looking at Mark, and you're looking at you could be looking at Rio as being your veteran leaders to guide some of these young guys, which is very, very important, having those veterans, especially when you have a ton of young guys. Like, they need that guidance. They need that.
And it's going to have to come from new pieces. And again, it kind of goes back to the sense of newness, for better or worse, depending on how you view the roster. It certainly will be interesting to watch unfold. One person that we don't have to worry about teaching how to be a professional is John Roser. John, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it as always. And congratulations on the new gig. We look forward to having you back on GBB Live soon.
Yeah, I would also I'd also tell people, if I'm sorry if I can give a shameless plug here.
Shameless plug it up.
It's all Grizzlies related. Yeah, it is all Grizzlies related, but today on the podcast, Chris and I, we had Jason Wexler on today, and I know a ton of people are wanting to know what's going on in the offseason as far as on the operations side of everything, and so go download that Chris Furnace Show podcast. You get it on iTunes, you can get it on your Google Play, you can get it on SoundCloud. You know, if you got an iPhone, you just hit the podcast tab, you search Chris Vernon Show, and it pops up there. But he goes through, gives details on the new Jumbotron, the new video scoreboard that's going to be in the arena. He goes through details on the Nike, you know, the Nike apparel that's going to be coming in. He talks about what the team store is going to look like, and goes through a bunch of other things as far as on the business operations side of what kind of fans will experience this year when they walk into FedEx Forum. It's going to be a little bit of a different experience. It's going to be some different things in the arena, which is also what I love about what is great about working there. When you see these guys, like, they're always looking to improve, always looking to upgrade. How can we make an experience better for our fans? And so I'd encourage people, Joe, you go listen to it too. Like, you get some really good information from Jason Wexler today on that podcast about some new things that are going to be happening within the arena this year.
Absolutely. After you're done with GBB Live, go and check out the Chris Vernon Show podcast. And I'm sure you already do that. If you listen to this show, surely you're familiar with Verno and Roser, some of the great guests that we've had on this podcast. It's all love on our end. The Grizzlies have been great to us, and 92.9 was great to us. You were great to us then. You're great to us now. Thank you, Rosa, for your time. Like I said, we'll have you on down the road.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Once again, there he goes, John Roser. Excited to have him back on the podcast, and excited for him to be joining the Memphis Grizzlies Grind City Media Branch. A very cool gig for him. Well-deserved. One of the best out there. Make sure you're giving him a follow on Twitter if you don't already do so, @John_Roser. We are finishing up here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Molinax, and this is going to be the last show for a while. We're going into our summer hiatus. We do this every year, it's a time for a bit of a breather. This offseason has slowed down a little bit. Obviously, it's a little unique with Tony Allen and Jermichael Green still being out there floating as free agents. If any major news breaks or something like that, we'll do an emergency podcast that night or the night after, something along those lines as we get it set up. But as far as scheduled shows, this is the last one until September. I want to thank everybody for such an awesome, I believe this was our fourth year or so, fifth year, maybe even more than that, of the podcast. Very appreciative of everybody who has tuned in, everybody who has listened, all the kind words, all the tremendous guests we've had. Very thankful to my wonderful co-host, Brandon Connor, who will hopefully be back after the hiatus here for the summer. I will announce that we are extending our entry into the tickets, the season or the opening night tickets for the logo contest, designing a new logo for our GBB podcast network. If you submit your entry to my email, mullinxjoe@gmail.com, or if you tweet at GBB Live with that entry, excuse me, and you're selected as our winner, you will get two tickets to opening night with the Memphis Grizzlies. We've had several submissions so far. They've been terrific. I figured I'll extend it through the end of July. So through July 31st, you have an opportunity to create some artwork for us. New, brand spanking new GBB podcast network logo. It's not just GBB Live anymore. We have You Like Hoops. We'll hopefully have other podcasts as the season gets underway. So we're expanding. We need a new logo. Hopefully you'll be able to help us out. Again, submit that to me via email, submit that via Twitter, and you have until July 31st now. So make sure you're getting those entries in for the GBB Live podcast, or excuse me, the GBB podcast network logo contest with us over at grizzlybearblues.com. I want to thank John Roser. I want to thank all of you so very much for listening. Thanks for another great year of GBB Live. We will be back, just going on our summer hiatus, a nice little break from our weekly shows. Like I said, we'll come back if something breaking happens. But until then, until the fall, ladies and gentlemen, once again, wherever you are, wherever you may be, however you may be taking us in, thank you for making us at grizzlybearblues.com and GBB Live part of your Memphis Grizzlies fandom. I am Joe Mullinax, the site manager of grizzlybearblues.com. I'm appreciative of you. I'm appreciative of John Roser and the Memphis Grizzlies. Thank you so much for another great year. We'll catch you on the flip side. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live.